Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in the second epistle of Peter, the first chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. To be sure, we were not following cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from within the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We heard this voice, which came out of heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the completely reliable prophetic word. You do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Since we know this above all else, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, the recipients of this letter were beginning to doubt all that they had been told about Jesus. So Peter emphasizes in our text that what they had been told were not ideas of men, but in reality, words from God. Well, we have that same word for us today. It is your Bible. It is the Word of God. So Paul tells us, cherish your Bible. First of all, because it is an accurate account of God's dealings with men. This is Transfiguration Sunday. And Peter addresses what happened on that mount. He says, first of all, to be sure, we were not following cunningly devised fables. These were not stories made up by other men to make Jesus seem more powerful, more important. In fact, in the early Christian church, many people said that all of these events that were described about Jesus that were supernatural never really happened. They were made up by men. Well, Peter says, on this account, the transfiguration of Jesus, I was an eyewitness account. It really happened. We made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What did they see? The Lord took him up onto a mountain, and all of a sudden, Jesus changed. He was glorified. His garments shined like the sun. His radiance was like the whiteness of snow. It was perfect. And all of a sudden, two dead people arrived, Moses and Elijah, and they talked with Jesus. Most commentators believe that what they talked about was Jesus' upcoming sacrifice on the cross to save mankind. And they were there again to encourage him. But the point Peter is making is this really, really happened. Jesus was transfigured before us. We got a glimpse of him in his glory. And we like today to think that that's also a glimpse that will be our glory when we go to live with him in heaven, not in our sinful bodies, but in glorified spiritual bodies. Accurate. The Bible. Jesus' work really did happen. Jesus, true God, became a man. That wasn't a figment of someone's imagination to make that man, Jesus, look good. He was true God, but also true man. And he did the impossible, humanly speaking. He lived a perfect life. Never once did he sin. Never once did he disobey his Father in heaven. Never once did he disobey his mom or his stepfather. He was perfect. It really happened. He died. But not just an ordinary death. He died the death of a criminal. Not because he was one, but because you and I are in God's sight. And so he took our place upon that cross to die, to pay for our sins. And when he said, "It is finished," and he said that, it was complete. His death paid for the sins of all people of all time. His resurrection. After he was laid in the grave, on the first day after the Sabbath, the women went to the grave wondering, "We need help. That stone is huge. We won't be able to roll it away to do our final rites for our Lord." They get there, the stone is rolled away, and the grave is empty. He's risen. That's what they were told by the angels, as he said he would do. I watched a movie. It's called Risen. It talks about that centurion, or that head of the guard that was at the cross when the Lord was crucified. And he was given the job by Pilate to prove that Jesus had died. And so he walked through the area of Jerusalem. He talked to the friends of Jesus. They went to the burial ground for the poor people. They did find a body. It looked similar to Jesus, but it wasn't him, of course. But on one of his visits in Mary's house and with the disciples there, he sees Jesus alive. The end of the story is he becomes a believer and he's witness to the Lord ascending on high. It's an interesting story. It has no fact behind it. But it emphasizes the fact that Jesus did rise from the grave. And there were many eyewitnesses. Many people today say that was impossible. But as Peter says, we have it recorded in his word, in God's word. And God's word is reliable. God's word is accurate. So what the Bible says about Jesus and about us and what he's done for us, it is true. Believe it. It's true also because of its promises. What promises did the Lord make for us? He said, "I will be with you always till the end of the age." In other words, from the time you're conceived to the time you die, the Lord will be with you if you are a believer. That's a promise he has made. And I know in my life, I have seen that happen over and over again. As I get low and the Lord brings me up, strengthening my faith, making sure that I have enough food to eat, I have friends to talk to, I have a home to live in. The Lord says, "I'll be with you." It's a promise. He says, "I will return again someday." We call that day Judgment Day. How many people today think that will never happen? That this world will just continue to go on and on and on and on forever. Well, the Lord says, no. There will become a time when I will return to judge the world, and the world as we know it will disappear. And I will separate all the people that have ever lived in two groups, believers and unbelievers. And the believers, you, will go to heaven. It's a promise. And what about heaven? Do you know what it looks like? I don't. John had a glimpse of it and said, "I don't have the vocabulary to even begin to describe it." But it will be perfect. No sin, no devil, no enemies, no illnesses. And it will last forever. These are promises that God has given to us in his word. and they are true. He says we also have the completely reliable prophetic word. Since we know this above all else, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. They are true because they're not the words of men. How many times have people told you this is going to happen and never has? Or how many times have they made promises and broke those promises? If these were ideas from men, we couldn't trust them. But it's God's word. And therefore, the promises contained in God's word we can believe are true and they will happen. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible was written by men, but the words they wrote were given to them by the Holy Spirit. So it's really God's word. But what is interesting, in each of these writers, he used the words that were characteristic of these writers. So we could say as we look at this book, oh, it's Paul's. That's his style. That's what the Holy Spirit did. But he still gave them the very words. So we know then that this Bible is not the word of men, but it's the word of God. Because it's true, because it contains promises, it is the change that will work in your life. You do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place. We live in a sin-darkened world. We live in a world that seems to be ruled by the devil, who tries in every way to lead us not to believe God's word, to say that he is the way. Believe in him and you can have fun and enjoy life. But his end is death. Eternal death. Eternal darkness. Away from the light of the Lord. Away from the light of the gospel. Away from the light of heaven. And so Peter says, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. That happens when the Holy Spirit enters you, makes you a child of God and an heir of life. When did that happen to you? Most of us say, well, at our baptism, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit at your baptism is there, strengthening your faith if you already believed, or bringing you to faith at that time. But he brings into you a light that you can now see the way to heaven, not the darkness of the devil in the darkness of the world. And so it gives us a positive attitude. I've often stated how much I oppose negativism. What good does negativism do? Gets you down? Doesn't look at anything good? It discourages. If you look at the good side, it brings you hope. Optimism. I'll give you an example. Some of you already have heard this from me. 9/11, the bombing of the towers by the airplanes. The next day, I get a knock on my door, and two friendly visitors were there. You can guess what religion they were. And the question they asked is, why did God do this? My answer was, he didn't. He allowed it. Next question. Well, then, why did he allow it? My answer, I don't know. God is wise. I have no idea why he does so many of the things he does, but he has his reasons. And here comes the optimism. But then I said, but how many of those people that died that day went to heaven sooner than they thought they would? And the two visitors turned around and left. They didn't want to hear that. But positive, even in the face of tragedy, there's always something good if you look for it. And when you do and you find it, it fills you with joy. Knowing all that the Bible tells us about Jesus and our future fills us with optimism, fills us with joy. And we have all that knowledge given to us by the Lord in the Bible. So he says, read it. Study it. Believe it. It is God's message to you, and it assures you of heaven. So Peter says to those Christians who were receiving this letter and to us, cherish your Bible. Amen.